This is Pastor Randall Floyd from Clayton Assembly of God in Clayton, New Mexico. It is my privilege and my pleasure each week at this time to bring you the message that was delivered the previous Sunday from the pulpit of Clayton Assembly of God. I hope you will take the time to join in and listen to what God has been saying to the congregation here, because I believe the message really has a much wider and broader appeal than just this church family. Grab your Bible if you can. Sit back and enjoy God's Word today. If you'd like to know a little bit more about Clayton Assembly of God, you can go to our website at www.claytonag.org. While you're there on the website, if you feel led to do so and you'd like to help support the ministry of Clayton Assembly of God, you can click on the donate button, or you can click on the contact page and find the address to simply mail your donation to us. Sit back and enjoy God's Word from the pulpit of Clayton Assembly of God.
Anybody want to guess what book we're going to? Going back again to 1 Peter. I have left these visuals up here because although we have gotten past this paragraph, I want you to understand that what we're still talking about is where Peter talks about our salvation. And we spent about 4 weeks looking at how he unpacked that salvation. There is the grace, the unmerited favor. There is time and circumstances connected with our salvation. There are the sufferings of Christ. And then on Easter Sunday, we looked at the glories beyond, the resurrection, and all of the blessings that we have as a result directly of Jesus Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. And today I want to start with just the first three words of verse 10 in 1 Peter 1 and then go down to verse 13. Concerning this salvation. Friends, I want you to get this in your head. I'm going to keep drilling us on this. Our salvation is the most precious thing that we have in our lives. Okay? Our salvation is the most precious thing that we have in our lives. Nothing else that you obtain in life is as gracious and wonderful and precious a gift as your salvation. So Peter says, concerning this salvation, and we talked about verses 10 through 12. Now go with me down to verse 13. Therefore, now if you have an older, like King James Version or New American Standard, it says, wherefore, same meaning, therefore. Let me give you a little tip about how to study the Word of God. If you start to read in the middle of a chapter somewhere and you see the word therefore, you need to back up a few verses to see what the therefore is there for. Because the word therefore or wherefore introduces a reason or something you're to do, and the reason you're supposed to do it's in the verses just before that. Concerning this salvation, and we talked about all this, the grace, the time, the circumstances, the sufferings of Christ, the glories beyond. Because of all of that, Peter says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. I want to take today, therefore, part one, and we're going to just simply look at the first part of that. Peter says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. But I want to tell you that there is actually a better translation of this. I want you to go with me to the next slide. And if you have the King James Version, this is what your 1 Peter 1:13 says. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That phrase, gird up your loins, actually comes from one single Greek word, and it's not something we talk about today, so I want to try to explain it. It was a word used of people in those ancient times when they got ready to run. And of course, back then, they didn't wear pants like we do. They wore a robe. Now, I'm not a great runner as it is, but how many of you would like to see me try to run in this with this robe hanging down around my knees? Yeah, you're a bunch of, yeah, right. Dream on. The word, and I won't give you the Greek word, the word, it's a single word for gird up your loins, talks about when they were ready to run a race, or perhaps even like in the story of the prodigal son, when the father saw the son coming, it says he began to run. They didn't run with the robe hanging down long. To gird up your loins means to take that long robe and tuck it into your girdle, your belt, and get it out of your way so you can run without any hindrances. Now, I'm still not going to run for you. I want you to get this picture in your mind. To gird up your loins is to get rid of anything that's going to hinder you from being able to run your race freely. Except for one thing. Peter doesn't say gird up your loins to run the race. He says gird up your loins of your mind. No, I got it. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about girding up the loins of your mind. And I'm going to tell you that I found this, and this is going to stay down here. We're going to gather some visuals there. It's okay if I don't put my jacket back on. It's kind of warm up here. Thank you. Peter says, I want you to gird up the loins of your mind. Can I tell you that in all honesty, our minds can get us in more trouble than just about anything else? I want you to listen to me very closely on this. God, through the Holy Spirit, deals first with our spirit and soul and works it up to the mind. Satan cannot do that. He can only gain access to your mind, and then if you let him in, then it permeates down into your soul and spirit. So Peter says, because of your salvation and all this that he talked about with our salvation, he says you need to gird up the loins of your mind. Go to the next slide there, son. I found this, and I want to just share this with you. I thought this was so good. Another pastor put this together, had it on a website, and I love this. What Peter is telling us is that if we do not deal with the loose ends that exist in our minds and emotions, let's just stop right there. Emotions are not bad. Amen? Amen. Emotions are God-given. It is emotion, the emotion of love, that makes me do things for and to my wife that I do for her and to her. Emotions can be very good. But can I tell you, some of you need to gird up the loins of the emotions of your mind because you let your emotions rule you, and that's not good. Bless you. Let me say that again. Emotions can be good, but when your emotions sit on the throne of your life and you constantly respond to everything in life with an emotional reaction, that's not good. Peter then says, if we do not correct the parts of our thinking that we know are wrong. You know, one of the things I've come to realize as a pastor for all these years, you know, the truth is, most of the time, I don't need to come to you and tell you, you know what, your behavior and your action is wrong. You don't need me to tell you that. You already know it. Am I right? You really don't need me to walk up and tell you, you know what, you need to quit lying. You already know you're a liar and yet you should quit. Maybe the reason why you're still lying all the time, though, is because you haven't girded up your emotions, taken control of them. Peter says, correct those parts of your thinking that you know are wrong. Most of us would avoid probably 80% of the problems we encounter and the trouble we get into if we would just clean up our wrong thinking. Peter also says if we don't grab hold of those dangling areas in our thinking and put them out of the way and remove them by the authority of God. You see, we try to change our thinking by being emotional about it, by trying harder. How many of you have ever had something in your life and you said, you know what, I'm just not going to do it anymore. I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't. How'd that work out for you? Not very good, I can tell you. Because the truth of the matter is, it takes more than positive thinking. It takes more than strong self-will to overcome those things that the enemy plants in our lives. And again, remember, God wants to plant things in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit, and the devil plants them in your mind. That's why Peter here is so adamant about you must gird up the loins of your mind. Peter is telling us that if we do not do these things, if we do not deal with the loose ends that exist in our minds and emotions, if we do not correct those parts of our thinking that we know are wrong, if we do not grab hold of all these dangling areas of our thinking and remove them by the authority of God, then what we are doing is we are choosing to permit things to exist in our lives that will hinder our steps and slow us down in our race and in our ability to successfully walk with God. Now, I want you to catch this. Peter does not say, let Jesus gird up the loins of your mind. Peter does not say, let the Holy Spirit gird up the loins of your mind. Charlie, he doesn't say, let the pastor do it for you. He does not say, let your spouse do it for you. He does not say, let the Sunday school teacher do it for you. He does not say, let Treva do it for you, or let Patricia or Georgia do it for you, or Connie, or whoever. He says, you need to do this. Friends, listen to me. Some of you need to take responsibility for your own selves. Amen. Well, I got a scattering of amens there. Some of you are very silent. You know why? Because the devil has planted that thought in our minds that we can't do it, that we need to have somebody always holding our hand. Can I tell you, one of the greatest things that you can ever do for yourself is to allow yourself to mature in your walk with God so that you don't have to have somebody holding your hand all the time. Because you know what? There's going to be a lot of times out there you're not going to have anybody around to hold your hand. It's going to be just you and God. And can I tell you, God wants you to be a participator, not a spectator. There's certain things in His Word that He has said, I'm leaving that entirely up to you. Amen. And this is one of them. Gird up the loins of your mind. Some of you need to get control. There's an evangelist, and you know what? I think he's still in ministry. If he is, he's up there in age. Don Brinkel. Is Brother Don still alive? Don Brinkel, boy. Seen him at family camp meeting years ago. That man had preached so hard that he'd get so drenched in perspiration that to go outside in the night air, he'd put on his coat so he wouldn't chill. And Brother Don had a saying. He said, the problem is we need to get rid of our stinking thinking. A lot of us, we're in the messes we find ourselves in because of our thoughts. The Bible talks about that we need to take every thought, what? Captive. How many of you are computer people? I mean, you're really computer people. Ronza, if I'm going to give you a phrase, I want to see if you can tell me what it stands for, okay? I want Ronza to answer. G-I-G-O. Stephen, G-I-G-O. That's it. Garbage in, garbage out. See, a computer is only as intelligent as the person who programs it or who works on it. The IQ of a computer is about 2 plus whatever your IQ is. Of course, if you're like me, you still blame the computer when something goes wrong, right? See, the problem is your mind is like that computer. When the garbage comes in, you need to decide, am I going to have garbage go out? Am I going to take it captive and get rid of it? Or am I going to allow that garbage to sit in my mind and take up residence? How many of you would allow a family of 24 skunks that were not fixed to take up residence in your house? How many of you? How many of you would let 24 skunks? Yeah, your mama wouldn't let you, I can tell you right now, boy. Okay, if you wouldn't let 24 wild skunks take up residence in your house to raise a stink, why do you let the devil put stinking thinking thoughts in your mind and let them take up residence? It is time that you gird up the loins of your mind. Because of your salvation with the grace and the time and the circumstances and the sufferings of Christ and the glories beyond, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Get your thinking on track. Now let's go back to the way the NIV says it. The NIV says that we are to prepare our minds for action. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. The first thing I want you to see, how many of you have a King James Version Bible with you right now? King James Version Bible. In the newer versions, your Bible will say that the fifth book of the New Testament is entitled what? It's entitled what? Just Acts. Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. But if you go back into some of the older ones, and this is my old King James Version Bible. I'll tell you how old this is, Mark. This was given to me when I turned 13 back in 1977. It's old, like me. But when I turn to the fifth book of the New Testament, it's entitled The Acts of the Apostles. I want you to listen to this very clearly because some of you have been sitting in church for years and you haven't gotten this yet. Being a Christian is about action, not passivity. It's about doing. It's not about sitting. It's about taking what you have learned and putting it into action in your life and sharing it with others. It's not about coming to church once or twice a week and sitting on your blessed assurance and doing nothing with it the rest of the week. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. If you're not finding yourself enjoying your Christian walk, maybe it's because you're doing way too much of this. Well, another week has passed. I guess I'll go back to church and see what that preacher's got to say. Boy, I just don't understand what the big deal is about serving Jesus because it's sure not doing much for me. It's because you've allowed stinking thinking and you have not prepared your mind for action. Now, the most reasonable question then is, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to show you what God's Word says. Next slide. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. I want you to catch that. This is all important. Some of you walk outside the doors of this building and you spend the next 6 days doing everything the world does. Stop it. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand this. Yes, it is. Stop it. Gird up the loins of your mind and stop it. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. How many of you consider yourselves to be fairly strong-willed, independent thinking people? Let me see your hands. No, you're not. If I followed you around all week It wouldn't take me long to figure out who's influencing your life because you act like them, talk like them, look like them, and sin like them. That's called conforming to the pattern of this world. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How many of you have either played with or watched the cartoon or watched the movies of the Transformers? What is a Transformer? It is something that is capable of becoming something totally different. See, when you get saved, it's not so that you can become a better kind of sinner. It's so that you can be turned into something totally different. I don't think you caught that. I said when you begin to follow Jesus Christ and accept the gift of salvation, it is not so you can become a better quality sinner. It is so you can become something totally different. But be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. See, there are some people out there that think, well, when you start following Jesus and you become one of those radical, fanatical Christians, you just turn your mind off. No, Paul tells us right here, if you want to become what God wants you to become, if you want to be transformed into what God wants you to be transformed into, it starts by renewing your mind. And there's a definition on the slide of renewing. It is to make like new. It is to restore to freshness, vigor, or perfection. See, when you get saved, it's not just so that the soul and spirit man can have opportunity to go to heaven one day, but God wants to save your body. God wants to save your mind. Every day you need to be getting up and saying, Lord God, today, good, good Father, as we sing about, good, good Father, today, renew my mind a little bit more to be what you want it to be. Make it fresh. Make it new. Bring vigor to it. Bring it closer to the perfection that you want it to be. And here's the key. Let me just tell you, I don't know who this is for. Maybe for a lot of us. You need to stop feeding your mind on some of the music and the movies and the TV shows and the junk that you're feeding it. How many of you ever been on a diet? How many of you ever dieted? Okay, how many of you ever dieted successfully? How many of you ever made a determination that you were going to diet and lose some weight you needed to? And you lost all that weight by eating nothing but chocolate cake and candy bars. Wouldn't that be lovely? You see, the thing is, so many times you'll sit in the church building like this in the service and you'll hear what the pastor is saying from the Word of God and you'll do the bobblehead thing of agreeing with it, but then you walk out the doors and you go feed your mind on junk. Turn off your TV, turn off your computer, and feed your mind on the Word of God. Amen. Say, Pastor, don't you like to watch TV? Yes, I love to watch TV. But I will tell you that I try to make sure I spend more time in the Word of God and with positive stuff than I do on that TV. And when I watch on that TV, I try to be very selective about what I watch and feed my mind on. Some of you dealing with anger issues, stop watching the shows that have a lot of violence in them. Some of you dealing with sexual issues, stop watching the movies and the shows that have nudity and sexual innuendos in them. Some have thought it's silly and crazy because I still like to go back and I love to watch Andy Griffith and I Love Lucy and the Jack Benny Show and the stuff from the 40s and 50s and 60s. You know why I like to watch those things? Because they're not full of all that garbage that I don't need to feed my mind on. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, I took computer programming in high school and I started to take it in college. And there was a certain kind of part, a certain part of that programming that we used called if-then statements. If this condition is true, then do this. If this is true, then do that. Listen to this. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You want to know what God wants you to do in life? Stop being conformed to this world. God did not send Jesus Christ, His Son, into this world to go hang on the cross, be resurrected 3 days later, ascend back to His right hand so that you could go out and be a better quality of sinner. He did it so you could be saved and become a saint. But it all begins with the renewing of your mind. Preparing your mind for proper action and behavior. James chapter 1, verse 22. I take this one out of the King James Version just because it's the way I learned it and I like it better. Again, remember, we're talking about girding up the loins of your mind, preparing your mind for action as a person who has accepted the gift of salvation. James 1, 22 says, "But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." How many of you had either shop class, metalworking class, or home ec when you were in school? How many of you, your favorite part was the hands-on stuff? I've shared this story before. Some of you heard it, some of you haven't. I was in a shop-type class in ninth grade. 1 9 weeks was wood shop, 1 9 weeks was drafting, 1 9 weeks was animal husbandry, and 1 9 weeks was welding. Animal husbandry, taking care of animals. And I love the hands-on stuff. Man, making a little baseball bat or a table leg on the lathe and using the router and the bandsaw and getting in that welding booth and, you know, striking that arc and putting down a bead, using that cutting torch. Fun stuff. But we had a couple of idiots in my class. They decided to see if they couldn't make the band blade on the bandsaw break so it would hit and go flying across the room. And our teacher called us all in, and he pulled a book off the shelf. It was a book about yay thick, probably a good 2 inches thick at least, if not thicker. And it was an entire textbook on woodworking and tools. And he says, "Here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. If we have one more incident like this," he says, "I will bring you into the classroom for the rest of this 9 weeks." And he says, "Believe it or not, I can teach wood shop strictly from the textbook." And I can tell you, everybody in that class just got not excited. Because I can tell you right now, I saw that textbook. I looked through a little bit of it. As much as I love to read, it was not exactly an exciting book to read. The parts of the power drill are just... Oh. I don't know of anyone who would have signed up for that class to simply be a hearer of the textbook only. We wanted to be doers, out in the shop, hands-on, cutting those boards, using that router, using that wood lathe, doing those things, striking an arc in the welder booth with our shield down. We wanted to be doers of the stuff, not hearers only. But so many people come and they sit in church week after week after week, and they claim that nothing good happens to them in their walk with Jesus, and it's because they're not doers of the word, they're hearers only. They hear it, they file it away, and they do nothing with it. You want your walk with Jesus Christ to be exciting? Start doing what the Bible says. Begin to walk in love. Begin to share Jesus with others. Begin to be obedient. Begin to be sober and sober-minded. Begin to do what His Word says, and you'll find out that being a doer of the Word is so much more exciting than being a hearer only. But notice what Paul says at the end of that. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, thus deceiving yourselves. Listen to me very carefully. Some of you will not like what I'm about to say, but I believe the word of God backs it up. If you only hear what the word of God says, and you are not obedient to do it, you have deceived yourselves, and you very likely are not truly saved. Now, I didn't say you had to do it all perfectly. But if you're not even attempting to be obedient to the word of God, I'm not so sure you're saved. I don't care how many times you got dunked in water and how many times you said a little prayer. Because those who are truly saved are going to be obedient to Christ because we're so in love with what he did for us. That's Paul's words. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, thus deceiving yourself. So how do we put all this into action? Go back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Again, I'm share this with you out of two different translations, or at least part of it. Again, there's another therefore. Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. I want you to notice the key there. We talked a few weeks ago about the sufferings of Christ, and we talked about how the prophecies of the Old Testament said that the Messiah would offer his back to the whips of those who were going to punish him, torture him, right? We're not called upon to offer ourselves as sacrifices that will die, but we are called to offer what? Our bodies, and that includes our minds, as living sacrifices. God's not going to force you, but friend, if you want to get the most out of being a Christian, if you want to get the greatest blessings out of serving Christ, you have to willingly offer yourself up to him every day as a living sacrifice. Adam, do you know why we have to do that daily? Do you know what the problem is with living sacrifices? They tend to get up off the altar and try to walk away. So every day, we got to put ourselves back on that altar and say, Lord, today I offer myself to you as a what? Living sacrifice. You know why he wants you as a living sacrifice? Because he's got great, wonderful things he wants you to do to assist him in building his kingdom. There is nothing more exciting in life than when you help somebody along their journey to become a Christian and help them as they grow in their walk with Christ. There is nothing more exciting. There is nothing more satisfying. There is nothing that should bring greater pleasure to you than helping somebody in their walk with Christ. Look at this. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Now, in the NIV, it says, this is your spiritual act of worship. I like the King James Version a little better. Both translations are correct, but sometimes there are Greek phrases that can mean more than one thing in English. The old King James Version says, this is your reasonable service. How many of you like it when things are reasonable? I like things to be reasonable, don't you? I mean, you know, I think it's reasonable for, you know, when my wife does laundry, I think it's reasonable to expect her to, you know, put a Tide pod in there and not just water. I think it's reasonable that, you know, if I ask my son to go out and clean up the backyard, I think it's reasonable to expect him to do the whole yard, not just one little corner. Reasonable. Not something, you know, we're not talking about anything that's out of the ordinary. We're not talking about anything that's above and beyond what you can do. Paul says, if you will do these things, he says, it is your reasonable act of service. You see, when God the Father, through His Word, when Jesus Christ, through the written Word of God, puts forth certain commandments and things and says, please do this and don't do that, He's not being unreasonable or unfair to us. Stephen, how many hours has been invested in you to learn how to work on Chrysler and Dodge vehicles? A lot. So now you know a lot about Dodge and Chrysler vehicles, right? You know more than the average person on the street. It would be pretty ridiculous if I took my Dodge van to Stephen and I said, you know, it's making this weird noise. And my wife says, get it fixed, because she's tired of me blasting the stereo to cover up the noise. Wouldn't it be pretty ridiculous, Stephen, for me to stand there and to try to tell you how to work on my vehicle, considering you're the one that has the knowledge about how it operates better than I do? I know a lot do that. But wouldn't it be unreasonable of me? Wouldn't it be ridiculous for me to tell you how to fix my vehicle when you're the one with the training and the knowledge? When it comes to Dodge vehicles, you know it far better than I do. Then why is it when the one who created us and knows us better than we know ourselves, when he tells us how to live this life, why do we try to argue with him and go against what he says? Can I just tell you, friend, God the Father didn't put all those commandments in the Word of God to cramp your style. He put them in there because he knows you better than you know yourself, and he understands how you can best live this life to its fullest potential. Peter says, because of this salvation, prepare your minds for action. Gird up the loins of your mind. Today's the day to take captive those thoughts those thoughts that shouldn't be there. Take them captive and turn them over to Jesus completely. This doesn't mean the devil's going to leave you alone. The devil's going to come up and he's going to try to push those thoughts right back in there. He's going to try, but you've got to say, you know what, devil, leave me alone. Holy Spirit, throw up a guard against what the devil's trying to do. Guard my mind. How many of you ladies know what harlequin romances are? I didn't say you read them. I just said, how many of you know what they are? Yeah. That used to be one of the big things. Harlequin was a publishing company, and they published these romance novels that were really tacky. They were like really tacky and risque, okay? Now, what's funny is there was a point many years ago where that was the thing. Boy, ladies were just buying those like crazy, and then they wondered why they had problems with their thought processes. How many of you men like to read Western novels? Louis L'Amour. Love Louis L'Amour. I worked with a guy that he said he liked Louis L'Amour Westerns as well. But Frito, one day I got there early, and he had a not Western novel he was reading. And I thought, I wonder if this one's any good. And I opened up and started to read. This was like Louis L'Amour meets Harlequin Romance, only worse. I put that away real quick. Why? Because I didn't want to affect my thinking. See, what you feed yourself on so determines whether or not you can prepare your mind for the action that Jesus Christ wants you to have. You say, well, Pastor, what's that action going to look like? You know what? I don't know. It's different for all of us. For me, that action is serving as a pastor and all the duties and responsibilities that go with that. Some of you, it's simply going to be that you need to be a little more of a light shining into the darkness around the people that you work with. Some of you, it's to simply get around some of your extended family and let them see the change that Jesus Christ has made in your life. But it all starts, listen to me, it all starts by preparing our minds for action. Over the next few weeks, we're going to go through the rest of what Peter says in those verses we started with today. But today, I want you to get your mind focused on him. I want you to get your mind prepared for action. I want you to gird up the loins of your mind. Get rid of all this stuff that's just flapping around, because it's going to trip you up. See, I guarantee you, if I put that robe back on and we went outside and I tried to run down the sidewalk, 99 times out of 100, I'm going to trip and fall. Okay? I would trip and fall. But if I gird that thing up and I tuck it into that belt and I take control over it and I get the hindrances out of the way, I'm going to be able to run better. And that's what God's calling you to do this morning. Get the obstacles cleared out of your mind so that your mind can prepare you for the action ahead. Amen? If you want to be one that's prepared for that action, I know we don't have a lot of a room with the table set up. I want you to stand right there where you're at. Don't stand because everyone else is, but if you're ready to prepare your mind for action this morning, the first step you can do is for you to stand. And the prayer today is going to be, Lord, help me to stop conforming to the pattern of this world. Help me to be transformed and renew my mind today. But here's the thing. I want you to do that again tomorrow. And the day after. And the day after. Some of you are going to need to do it every hour. Well, some of you are being real. I said, some of you are going to need to do it every hour. Some of us are going to need to do it every 15 minutes. But here's the thing. As you do that and your mind becomes more and more renewed and you become more and more transformed, the good news is you don't have to do it quite so often because it'll carry on for a little longer and a little longer. Amen? Would you bow your heads? And I want you to pray for yourself this morning in your own way as I pray for you. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word. Lord, let your word take root, not just in our heart, in our soul, in our spirit, but God, this morning, let your word take root in our mind. Help us to be renewed in our minds. Help us to be transformed to be what you want us to be. Help us to be ready to answer the call to action, Lord, to help build the kingdom of God. Lord, help us to quit feeding our minds on garbage and junk that momentarily stimulates and momentarily pleases, but in the long run, Lord, it causes us to go out and do things that breaks the heart of our good, good Father. Now, Lord God, help us to begin to feed our minds on things that are pleasing to you. Help us to grow, and then help us to mature so we can begin to reach out and help others in this journey. Remind us, Lord, that we're not in this journey alone, but we do this together. We do this as a family. We do this as a body. And we ask all this in your wonderful name. And everyone said, amen, amen and amen. God bless you.